Is it really necessary for us in our spiritual growth? And he says, well, yes, you do need to go up to the temple. And they're kind of fearful. It's the attitude of I don't know about that. D. They want to stay with what is familiar to them. J. Yes, they don't like to go any further. But they're able to manifest good things and they're pretty happy. Then we go into the upper astral. He says it's just like you have different social classes. Mid-astral's nice, it's like going to a nice suburb. But the upper astral's just gorgeous with such beautiful scenery. There are gardens and the prototypes of all the conversations with a spirit. D, J, D, J, D, J, D, J, beautiful mountains, oceans, streams, lakes and waterfalls. They're all there and they're just wonderful. There's this beautiful jewel-like city where the Temple of Wisdom is located. There are mountains surrounding it where some of the people that are upper astral entities live. But they come into the temple. They're souls that like that sense of comfort of home life and family life. He says many very evolved souls like this type of life. This is why they have their little villa houses on the slopes of the mountains. It's beautiful. It sounds like the spirits are going to whatever area they are familiar with. And they won't go on to the next level until they're ready. Is that correct? Right. He says that you have to advance to a certain level. But he says the upper astral is where you want to go when you come over here. He says, this is the place, it's just gorgeous. The mid-astral, it's important. That's where a majority of the souls come to. They're neither good nor bad, they're not degenerate, they just want to see their family and their friends. And they need time. But when it's time for them to go up to the computer room, it's time for them to go. They don't have anything to say about it. No, they can't realize, and that's what is sad. He says, that's why you have so much more choice when you're in the upper astral. Knowledge is freedom. Does everyone go to the computer room eventually? Oh, yes. They all go. This is the processing room. But he says the lower entities have only a few more years to incarnate through all this negativity. He can't show me the computer room. It's a processing room where basically only the spirit guardians are allowed. It's a very important area, but he says even you in the astral state cannot go into it right now. That's all right. We don't have to see it. We just like to know about these things. This is the processing room where souls are lined up and matched with the appropriate bodies for them to incarnate in. But, he says it's different when a spirit from the upper astral wants to incarnate. It's like he has good documentation, so he's given priority. Laugh, I mean, some of them are just shipped out. Laugh, that's what I get the impression the Grand Tour of. He says that's true, some of these souls are. He says much of the pain and suffering of the people that have died of famine in Ethiopia and such things as that has been caused by past lifetimes of complete indulgence. He said these lives are being processed into higher spiritual energy for them. D. Then they're put into a life where they wouldn't live for very long. Just long enough to try to repay some of those indulgences. J. To suffer. To teach them that they have to grow spiritually. D. Well, is this computer room also where the final karmic connections with families and things like that are worked out? J. This is like a huge computer processing center. I see what it looks like somewhat, but I can't go in it. There's a line of souls, all dog-eared, waiting to get in. But when a higher level soul comes, it's like he's given priority service. They already know that he's gonna be processed through quickly. He's ushered in another direction. D. Then many of these lower level souls are the ones that are sent to live such horrible lives and to die en masse in these countries in the catastrophes and the famines. They're the ones that come back to life in those places? J. No. He says not to look at it like that. They're paying for lifetimes where they've misused their bodies. He said you could do the same thing. You misuse your temple, you can suffer because of it. D. Would the version people have of heaven fit with any of these astral planes? J. He said the upper astral would be very much like heaven because it is very beautiful. D. That is their version of heaven? J. He says, no, the people who believe in heaven and hell are still in that mid-level of intelligence. No, It's not a heaven or hell that they are given. They're given a nice suburban tract house in a very suburban looking area. This is what they expect, and so this is what it's like. There are no angels with harps up here. D, I was wondering about that, if there was anybody floating around on a cloud with a harp. Laugh J, there are no clouds. The upper astral, though, is just so beautiful. It's full of gorgeous jewel-like flower colors. It could really be a heaven. Conversations with a spirit D, that would kind of go along with the version people expect of heaven. Are there any other higher planes that he can tell you about, or is that the ultimate? J, he says this is the advanced grades when you reach the upper astral. Yet there are even more advanced grades above this. But you are still tied to a body, and so there are other things to be concerned about. He says, don't look further. At your level of awareness, John, that is enough. D, whenever you go to those higher levels, do you ever come back and incarnate again? J, no. He says that you have much more important missions to work within the universal plan. And that you don't usually take physical incarnation again unless it is a very important mission. He says great men in history, for instance, Jesus and Buddha, have been very high upper astral entities that did come back. D, they came back for a purpose then. J, right, a very important purpose. D, I was just wondering if our goal in our evolution was to go on beyond that plane. J, he says we go beyond the upper astral and we go into spiritual rejuvenation and learning to be a universal spirit. Then we're not just tied to the astral areas of the earth. I can't understand that. But he says, it's not for you to understand at this present point. Laugh D, what is our goal eventually? J, perfection. We increase. As you know from your law of physics, energy is neither created nor destroyed. It just changes its form on its drive back to its source. And by the time it reaches its source, it's of the same energy. He says this applies to spiritual physics as well. He says, there's the clue. You think it for yourself. D, but eventually the goal is perfection. And in order to attain that, you have to go through several lives on Earth and then evolve above that? J, he says each lifetime teaches you a different quality that you need to learn in your quest for perfection. You don't just have several lifetimes. Some people go for 3, 4, 5, 600. The grand tour D, J, D, J, D, J, D, J, D, of course. Many of them have to keep repeating lessons, don't they? Right. He says some advanced souls can do it in maybe 10 lives. But the average number is about 120. Abruptly he is saying that we have seen enough and now it is time for us to leave this area. He's leading me out of the library and showing me the steps leading outside the temple area and down into a wonderful, breathtaking garden. He said, why don't you go see what's out there? I get the feeling we may have been asking too many questions. I'm walking in this garden and it's just beautiful. There are fountains and conduits of water. The birds are singing. The smells of the flowers are just wonderful. There is a glowing spirit here and he says, let's talk about the garden. It's the prototype of all the flowers and trees and ponds and lakes and fountains that you have on Earth, so it's much finer. Everything is exquisite. The flowers are like hand-cut jewels. Their scents are just miraculous. Imagine the best, most expensive perfume in the world just sprayed all over the place. I mean, it's just that type of wonderful scent that's in the air. It feels like nature just reaches out to love you. And there are beautiful butterflies. Oh, it's just wonderful. It's so beautiful here. And this is a prototype of what gardens look like in the material world. This is the world, the real world. The astral world is the real world and this garden is prototype for our Earth gardens. I'm thinking of flowers on Earth. They will bloom and then they will fall off. No, these are eternal. They never change. That's why they have jewel-like perfection. Like the most perfect rose or something like that? Yes, each petal is exquisite. The flowers are like the most perfect jewels. Is it the same with the trees? Would it be like the most perfect examples of these trees? Is that what you mean? He says that the trees in your world, the material world, are just a reflection of these. I guess I was thinking the opposite. That maybe the astral world was a reflection of this world. Conversations with a spirit. J. Oh, no, no, no. He says, this world is much better. All the beautiful things that are created in your physical world have their counterpart here in this world. And the earth is just a reflection of the spiritual world. Your world is so coarse and crude. That was the guardian of this wonderful garden that said that. D. Then each place has a guardian. J. Yes, each place in this complex has a different guardian. There's this beautiful lake. D. Where is that? J. In the gardens. There are all different types of houses built up along one of the banks of the lake. And everything, the fountains, the temple, the mountains and landscape is perfect and eternal. The intensity of the colors is breathtaking. It is impossible to describe the incredible beauty of this place. Well, he's saying that maybe we should go back. He says, you've had your tour. Now, go back. Go back, John. D. All right. But isn't there any other place up there that I need to know about? J. No, not right now. He says some areas are off-center because it's like dragging a toddler or a preschooler into a college. He says this information is not necessary for you right at this present point. D. All right. But tell him I'm trying to find out about these things so that people who are afraid of dying will know what it's like over there. That's the main thing. Maybe they won't be afraid if they know. J. He understands what your service is. He says that's nice and that's wonderful. But he also says there are some things that we do keep hidden. D. Well, I can appreciate that. J. And he says, take care now. Feel happy and high in love and light. Bless you and let the white light surround you and make you feel safe and happy. D. Okay. Then he thinks we should not ask any more questions today or try to find out any more information. Is that correct? J. Surprised, he's gone. D. Well, where are you? Pause. Do you see anything at this time? J. I'm in the gray. That's all. It's all gray. Some kind of clouds. The Grand Tour. D. Okay. Apparently they want us to stop asking questions. Is that all right with you? But I guess you don't have much choice, do you? Laughed J. Perplexed, I'm not there anymore. D. That is all right. We did find out quite a bit. I then brought John back up to full consciousness. I was a little disappointed that we couldn't continue longer with our exploration, but when they stopped the flow of communication we had no choice. It was as if we were allowed entry up to a certain point. But when they decided it was time for us to go they simply pushed us out the door and closed it behind us. The scene had been completely cut off. This was a very unusual occurrence. It demonstrated that we certainly were not the ones controlling this session. Information about the different levels of existence began to emerge when I was speaking to a woman who was in between lives and attending school on the spirit planes. But this time it sounded like a different school than the school of knowledge I had been told of earlier, although there were some similarities. She said it was located on the seventh level. S. I am learning how to take on day-to-day experiences in life and make them worthwhile and enjoyable and make a lot count. We are learning about the different stages that are occurring on Earth. And we are trying to help different people become knowledgeable so that humans can take the necessary steps forward. D. Do you mean by being a guide of some kind? S. To a certain degree, yes. Maybe helping open people up to the realms of possibility. D. Are you able to do this from where you are? S. Mostly, it is done from here. We make an effort to attract the attention of individuals that we feel are capable of handling the knowledge and the information that we can give them. There are only a certain amount of people who are open to those on the seventh level. There are more who are open to those on the sixth. But we are trying to open up the ones who are, for instance, the spiritual leaders or the inventors, and those who many people would not consider to be important. 88 different levels of existence stand. In the extent that they won't be remembered for the next 200 years. But they are doing something that is important. Maybe being a father to someone who will be known, or maybe guiding or teaching such children. D. Do you try to work on the mental level? S. Yes. Through their dreams and different things like that. It would seem that this seventh level is where the inventions, music and creative influences come from. I have always felt that these things are spread through the atmosphere whenever the world is ready, and that whoever is open and could pick up on these ideas would be the one credited with the invention. I think those on the other side do not really care who does the actual creating, as long as is done when the time is right. This would account for the cases of many people all over the world working on the same thing at the same time and rushing it towards completion. Many famous inventors and composers have claimed that their inspirations came to them during dreamlike states when they would naturally be more psychically open to these helpful influences. D. Could you explain about these spiritual planes or levels? S. If you would like to envision an inverted pyramid, God would be at the top or the longest edge, and humanity would be at the bottom or at the point. The planes are in between, and as they go higher in number, they become more spiritual. As one advances in the planes, one broadens one's awareness and becomes closer to God. However, this pyramid analogy lacks in several aspects, one being that the top or longest part would be infinite. To be God, it would have to be infinite. D. How do we advance through the planes? S. You're advancing through your planes right now. Incarnation is one manner. D. Is it a matter of simply spiritual development? S. Spiritual development, yes. Physical development is another. D. Do we have to live more than one life in order to advance? S. You need not live any lives at all if you so desire. It is not necessary to incarnate, it is simply more efficient. D. More efficient for what? Conversations with a spirit. S. For you. For your time, for your learning experiences. It is more complete learning to incarnate than to remain spiritual. These are shortcuts, if you will, to the ultimate destination. D. And what is the ultimate goal? S. To be one with God. To join with God again and reach perfection, and then you don't have to come back anymore. D. Have many spirits or souls reached the highest level of these planes? S. Many have already joined God and need never return to lower planes again. D. How many lives does it generally take? S. It varies with different individuals. If they can stay with the goal they have set and the pattern and not forget why they are there, and stay in touch with their inner selves and stay strictly on the path, it doesn't take as many. But too many people get caught up with the ways of the world. Their egos and their vanities are built around them and they lose contact with the spiritual, deeper truths of the reasons behind their existence. D. If we didn't incarnate, how would we reach God? S. Through other methods. Through helping, assisting incarnated beings. Through being a guide, a teacher, a helper, a friend on the spirit planes. There are many different methods. D. What is the objective of physically working up through these planes if it can be done from the other side? S. We are ascendant beings. We are forming a ladder. There are others whose entire purpose is stationary. This is similar to people in a marathon. There are those at certain points who do nothing but hold the water and give it to the runners as they pass. These runners are ascendants, if you will, from the beginning to the end. Angels are the assistants who do not climb but merely serve. Our purpose is to start at the beginning and run until we get to the finish. However, there is no first or last place. All who cross the finish line are winners in that race. I was curious about these levels. Some spirits have called them dimensions, but from their descriptions, you can tell that they are speaking of the same things. I have been told there are several, from 10 to 13 to a possible infinite number, different levels of existence according to whom you are speaking to. But they all agree that as you climb higher you come closer to being one with God. D. Can you tell me about the different levels? S. I could not explain it to make you understand each plane or dimension because you don't have the experience to understand it. But I will try to give you some information. D. Is the Earth considered the fifth level? S. The level of the Earth is considered a fifth level. There are several levels below that. There are the elementals, who are some of your lowest, on the first level. That basic plane is composed of pure emotions and energies. They are but a basic energy, and you progress upward from there. They are life forms which have no individual personalities but are merely collective life forms waiting for their time, as humans waited for theirs. Elementals have a future where they will become personalized. However, they are in their waiting period at this time. Don't underestimate their potential, for they can be very powerful. Neither berate or underrate them, for they have a future quite remarkable, as the human future was before the present. D. Do elementals have anything to do with what we term possession? S. Not in the typical understanding. Possession is a reality, however, elementals are drawn in, not invaders as such. Elementals can be directed, so they tend to be influenced quite easily and can be swayed one way or another. D. What about the other levels? S. There is the second level, which are protectors of the trees and the hills. These are different from each other. Elementals usually deal with places, whereas, with those that protect the trees, each has a tree or their own type of plant. It is like when the Greeks spoke of the sprites and dryads and different things like that. That was much in this level of understanding. D. Do they have any intelligence? S. More mischief than intelligence, though they are basically very kind-hearted. It is a matter of progression. Your physical level is just another energy level. It is simply a matter of perception where you are most comfortable. This determines which level of incarnation you go to. Some people conversations with a spirit come back as fairies and leprechauns because that's where they are comfortable perceiving. D. They can do that? S. Yes. Usually they incarnate as the ones referred to in your language as the little people. They are more in tune with the spiritual level because they are aware of the energies involved and how to manipulate them. D. Then such beings do exist? S. Yes, they do exist, but they exist in the spirit realm. They do not exist in a physical manifestation, but they can appear as a physical manifestation. That's very important. They can appear, but they're very spiritual. Their souls, just as your soul, are growing towards perfection. And they have recourse over all plants and animals of the forest, and also of the sea and of the air. They're like the movers and shakers behind things in this area. But when they do manifest, they manifest as a human-like creature in green areas. This is why we have stories of leprechauns, fairies, elves and such. D. In their normal state they're like a spirit, but they can manifest as little creatures. Why do they manifest in such an unusual form? S. It is part of the plan. They are tested to learn how to take care of nature. When they have learned to do that, then they can go on to take care of themselves. D. What do you mean by that? S. Exactly what I said. D. Does that mean they can evolve and eventually incarnate as humans? S. You've been fairies before in other lifetimes, yes. D. Oh. All of us? S. Yes. All of us. You really cannot talk too much about soul evolution at this present state of your development. It is difficult for you to comprehend, but they are moving up the ladder just as we are moving up the ladder. D. Is this why humans are so fascinated with these things? S. Probably because they've been there. They've been these fairies, especially those people that are very in tune with the earth. They are still recalling reflections from their lifetimes as a spirit on the earth, as these type of creatures. D. Well, according to our folklore, they are supposed to have different levels of existence, magical powers and things like that. Is this true? Do they have the powers that are attributed to them? S. That's just folklore. They do have surprising talents. But to uneducated people who weren't aware of the spiritual realm, when they manifested, they saw them as a spirit rather than a physical life form. They do have life though, in a spiritual sense. D. It's difficult for me to see them as a spirit and then changing into a manifestation. S. They're allowed to do this when it is necessary. That is why they don't appear very often to humans. If you are clairvoyant, you can see that all nature has its spirits taking care of its endless tasks. D. Do they experience death as we know it? S. No, they don't experience death. They just individualize more. They go away from the group soul into more striking individualism so that they can work out their karmic fate. D. There has been such long, ongoing folklore, it would seem there has to be some kind of basis to it. Is there any reason why people see them in different ways, like elves, fairies, gnomes? S. Some take care of the creatures of the lakes and the waters. Others take care of the creatures of the forest. Others take care of the creatures of the earth's carpet, the grass. D. This is why they look differently, have different shapes, different forms, different personalities and such. He nodded. Do these creatures ever create anything negative? S. No, because they're programmed not to. D. Well, I'm thinking of folklore. S. Yes. But there are demons out there that masquerade as these beings. These are often negative astral entities that have lived on the earth and are upset because they cannot reincarnate there again. They can cause problems. This happened more often in the past. You see, humans have rather ignored these spirits because of their technological advancement. Demons used to torment people as fairies, as animals. But now that humans have moved away from an agricultural type of lifestyle into a technological lifestyle, it doesn't happen as often. D. How would people know which was which? Conversations with a spirit. S. You shouldn't worry about it. Nature spirits really don't manifest that often to mortal people. It is not that common. But when they do, it is for an important reason. Usually it has something to do with land or with nature itself. For instance, maybe people are going to abuse the land that is sacred to these spirits, and they will cause trouble then. They will try to contact people in their sleep and their waking hours to say, please do not abuse this land. D. That sounds like some of the Indian lore that we have heard. But they don't manifest as often as they used to. S. No. But they do things that are beneficial for the plants and the animals in their care. D. One thing I was wondering about. Does each plant and animal have a separate protector? S. No, because plants and animals all have a group spirit. And these group spirits are tended to by these spirits that you would know as leprechauns and fairies. There are individual souls that take care of the group souls. And the individual souls are the elves, fairies, etc. D. This is so difficult to understand. I thought maybe it was a group soul that took care of all the plants, and then this individualized. S. They're separate beings because the group soul is not as evolved as a helping soul. D. Then the fairies and elves are helping souls, rather like our guides and guardians. S. They're like pixies, yes. They are like guides and channelers for the plant and animal kingdom. These kingdoms are aware of these spirits. D. It is rather like the way our guides and guardians help us. S. Yes. Except that they are for the animal kingdom and the plant kingdom. The leprechauns or elves or whatever you want to call them are a distinctive soul type that is evolving spiritually into human incarnation. They will have that opportunity in the future. In fact, we have been that type of energy in our previous lifetimes, but now we have taken a human role. These spirits are of service to animals and birds that have the group souls. They are there to help them since animals do not have individual souls. The way that animals see life is through their reproductions. This is how they live on. Different levels of existence. Much of this sounded very similar to folklore and mythology, which we have dismissed as superstitious gibberish. Maybe because the ancients were living closer to nature, they understood more about these basic principles. It was very clear to them. But it also frightened them. Apparently out of their respect for nature, they invented stories and populated them with distinct types of creatures whose names have come down to us in folklore and myths. This appears to have evolved from their attempts to understand this spirit realm which we have chosen to ignore in our mechanized and complicated society. D. But then in their evolution these spirits eventually do become humans. S. Yes. I am really not supposed to talk much about this information. But, yes, they are learning to develop into humans. They're a young soul. They're full of love for all humanity and all of nature, but especially nature. They will move up the scale of evolution after the Earth shift, for then they will start incarnating in physical bodies. They are preparing the world for this Earth shift at this present time. That is why people are being guided to certain areas throughout the country to live. When these spirits incarnate in a human lifetime, the world will have changed from a low planetary vibratory system to a high planetary vibratory system, and this will reflect their light and their lives.